Next Sunday is our annual meeting following the church service, and so we'll finish the church service. We'll ask the pastor to keep the sermon short, and so we can get down to have some refreshments. Please bring a bag lunch, and we'll get into our meeting as soon as we can after the service. The annual reports are downstairs. If you haven't picked yours up yet, please pick it up. And so are your receipts, your tax receipts, donation receipts for 2018, if you haven't picked those up yet. And the Monday night small group is not meeting this week. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's correct, because of family day. And we know that a lot of people are away because it's family day weekend. So I'm going to ask the praise team, as it is this week, to come and lead us in worship this morning.
We want to hear your voices this morning. Mark, you have to sing loud, okay? I want to hear you.
With gusto.
With gusto. Okay. I'm just going to be reading the first four verses of Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name.
Father God, give you thanks for family. We give you thanks particularly this weekend, Lord, for Family Day weekend, Lord. And Lord, bless those families who are not with us because they've gone off to meet with other members of the family or gone off to take the weekend away. Lord, bless them and keep them safe in their travels, Lord. And bless all of our children and our grandchildren, Lord. Make them holy and devoted to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise for your continuing faithfulness to this congregation for the many, many generations, Lord. We ask you to continue that faithfulness. We ask you to continue to bless us, to guide us, Lord, as we grow, as we change. Lord, it's our desire only to be a public witness to your faithfulness, to your salvation, to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us next Sunday as we gather for our annual meeting. Bless us as we press forward. Lord, let it be a time of open discussion and sharing. Lord, bless all those who have stepped up this year to be part of the team. Lord, as the team's changed, their faces changed, Lord, new blood, new ideas comes into the teams. We ask you to bless each one. Give them energy. Give them vision. Share vision as we move forward. Lord, we ask you to bless George and Janice this week, Lord, on the passing of George's mother, Margie, yesterday. Lord, you lived a long life, faithful life. Give you thanks for her. We ask you now to bless George and his sister, Gail, and the rest of the family as they grieve passing their mother and grandmother. We ask you to bless Lois, William and Marie's mother, in the hospital yesterday and back out again this morning. Lord, we just ask you to give her comfort and peace and freedom from falls and the light. And we ask you to bless Anna Marie as she's continued to care for her mother and Stephen too, Lord, for the strength and energy they need to care for an aging parent. Lord, also pray for our dear brother Gordon Hale, 90 years old next month, Lord, in Southlake Hospital, Lord. We just ask you to bring healing to his body and have him return to home. Lord, we pray for our government. Our governments are all levels, Lord.
Lord, we pray for integrity, leadership, for honesty and openness. Lord, we have an election coming up this year. Lord, we pray that godly men and women will put their names on the ballot. We will discern how to use the freedom we have to elect our members. Lord, we pray that we will all exercise that freedom prudently, diligently, wisely. For billions of people in the world do not get that freedom. Lord, we just pray for care and activation, Lord. As our moral and our ethics drift further and further away from a biblical standard, that men and women of wisdom and vision will step up and speak the truth into the darkness. Does anybody have a personal prayer request today?
I have the usual. My aunt Eleanor is now 96.
Yeah.
And she's not saved.
No.
I really have a heart to save her, but I don't know what to do exactly.
Yeah. Lord, again, we lift up to you, Matt's aunt Eleanor, well along in years now, Lord, and still not receiving Christ as Savior. Lord, soften her heart. Lord, create an opening for Matt to speak to her. And Lord, give him wisdom and grace as he seeks to have his aunt saved. Lord, we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And also we pray earnestly in Jesus' name for our Lord's salvation. And Lord, we give thanks for Matthew's integrity, Matthew's persistence in this matter. Bless him too. Any other prayer requests this morning? Let's just take a few moments of quiet time to be present with the Lord as he is present with us by his Holy Spirit. He wants to hear from the Lord's children. Father God, we give you thanks for being a God that we can approach, a God who hears, a God who hears and answers. Lord, I pray for all of our families here, all the families of this congregation. Bless them this weekend, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Working our way through John's first letter, 1 John as it's called. And we realize from the context, the dating and timing of his letter, late in the first century, persecution had come on the church, dispersion of the church had taken place, Jerusalem had been destroyed, the Jews were being dispersed, time of great upheaval and change. And John wants to speak into some of the errors, heresies that had already begun to creep into the church, as we've discovered some that have remained. And he sets out by stating his credentials at the very beginning of 1 John by saying, I've seen him, we've seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him, he was real. Because one of the heresies was that Jesus was just an apparition, he just appeared to be there. And John is saying, no, he was real. And he uses the expression, we declare this to you. He uses it three times very early on in the letter. And there's a sense of urgency in his writing. John speaks to the separation between light and dark. The light of the world has come, and the world was in darkness. And as we discovered last week, scripture tells us, Psalm 119, your word is a light to my feet. And if we're not into the word of God, then we're unlikely to find the light. We'll continue to live in darkness. And Jesus is the light of the Lord. He came in to show us the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. And in John 3, the Gospel of John 3:19, it says, this is the verdict. This is the verdict for the condemnation of the world, the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. And I'm presenting this reading of 1 John, the study, if you like, of 1 John, as being as relevant in the 21st century as it was at the end of the first century. The world rejects Jesus, and he is the light of the world, because the world wants to live in darkness. So as we continue on, we're into John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. John basically asks a question and gives us the answers. How do I know that I'm a true follower of Jesus? It's a good question. Sometimes in our faith, we have times of walking in doubt, and we're not sure. We need like a litmus test to say, well, am I really saved, or am I really a follower of Jesus? Now, Satan will continue to nudge you and poke you about past events in your life, okay? And he'll question, make you question your salvation, make you question your faith. And so John lays out a very simple test. Am I a follower of Jesus? So we're in John, 1 John, the letter of 1 John, chapter 2, we're in verses 3 to 11. I'm just going to read 3 to 6 right now. And then we'll talk about that. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. There's the question. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We'll stop there and just see what John's talking to us about here. John is making a direct connection between a claim of knowing God, being a follower of Jesus, and our obedience to his commands. It's not the first time in scripture we read this kind of urgency, if you like, this kind of intensity in the writings of scripture. At the giving of the Ten Commandments, following the giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses addresses the people with these words in Deuteronomy 6. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There's an intensity in the giving of the commandments that Moses says, God has given us these commandments. Take them to heart. God is trying to separate his people from the paganism of the world by giving them these seven commandments to live by. And likewise in the New Testament, God has given us Jesus, the light of the world, because the world wants to live in darkness, to again separate people out, those who are going to be true followers and true believers. John is writing to encounter errors and heresies creeping into the early church, and we have them still today. God gives his people a set of laws to keep them on the path of God's righteousness and to separate us from the paganism and the darkness that's all around us. And there's as much urgency in John's voice as there was in Moses back in that time. It's like it hasn't changed. There's an urgency in God's message to the world, is separate yourself. come out of the darkness, come into the light. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. What is the walk that Jesus did that we are to emulate? Jesus walked in complete obedience to his purpose in life here as Jesus the Messiah. He lived a life in complete obedience to the direction God was putting in him. We too need to determine our purpose. Why has God put me here? What is my purpose in life that God created me for, created you for? And if I'm to walk as Jesus did, I need to find out that purpose. Determine what that purpose is and walk in it faithfully, confidently. Isaiah 30 says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's a challenge to actually be listening to the voice of God. So when we're asking for a direction, seeking a choice, have to make a decision where to live, where to work, we're listening to the voice of God, and he says, walk this way. And we need to be determined that we will walk in the direction that God gives us. But we need to set aside time and stillness. Again, separate ourselves from the rush and noise and busyness of this world to hear the quiet voice of God giving us that direction. So like Jesus, we can walk in his way. Now, to walk as Jesus walked is not a call to act like Jesus, to try and copy his miracles. Please don't try copying walking on water. Okay? Very difficult. Now, turning water into wine, that's different. That's a different thing. Okay? That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about looking at the things that Jesus said or did and trying to copy them, but to walk in his way, which is in submitted obedience to the will of God, the according to. Jesus lived his life and his ministry in accordance with why he was here. And we know that at a very early age, he was able to determine why he was here. One of the first hearings we have of Jesus speaking is at the temple when he's 12 years old. He stays behind. Mary and Joseph run off with the caravan back to Nazareth. 3 days later, they say, where's Jesus? You know, 12-year-old boys, probably playing with the rest of the boys and girls in the caravan that came down from Nazareth. They turn around and go back to the temple. They find Jesus in there. And Jesus says, like a typical 12-year-old, why are you here? Why didn't you know I was supposed to be here about my father's business, doing these things? Almost like a rude response if we don't read it correctly. But he knew early on what his purpose was. He knew what he was called to do, and he wanted to set about it as early as possible. He tells us in John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Very clear. And in Hebrews 10, it's reiterated, I have come to do your will, O God. It's all about not being autonomous to what I want to do and the way I want to live. It's about determining why God created me and for what purpose, and to find that purpose and pursue it. To walk as Jesus walked is to know why you are here, to discover God's purpose in creating you, the unique you in all creation. There is no one quite like you. And I mean that positively, okay, affirmatively. If you look around, look at the differences. Look at the variety that's here just in this small group of people. Okay? Each uniquely formed, as we discovered again last week, you know, he knew us in the womb. That's a kind of thing you need a long ponder about. That he knew each one of us in the womb. And he created each one of us uniquely for a purpose, for his glory. Each one of us is for God's glory. We're not created for our own purposes. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We bristle, as humans, we bristle against that. To be told that we're not our own, we're not autonomous, I can't do what I like. That's the darkness of the world. I want to do what I like. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to be told what's right and wrong. I don't want to hear that. That's the darkness that's in the world today. But the humility and the submission that's in the Christian heart, or should be in the Christian heart, is, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? How would you have me serve? I understand, I recognize that I'm not my own. I was created by you for your glory, for your purpose. Show me that purpose and give me the courage and strength and the wisdom to pursue it. Our culture today, our evolutionary culture, will tell us that we're just a random chance bundle of biological cells, that we have no intrinsic value, purpose, or destiny. Scripture tells us the complete opposite of that. Scripture says, no, I knew you in the womb. I created you, uniquely formed you and shaped you and gifted you. And we all have unique gifts too. And I placed you here. Our place in here isn't random. Look around at all the different cultures and countries that we come from, myself included. Son of immigrants, my parents were Irish. My children are children of immigrants. Many of you immigrants come from various different countries around the world. It's not random. It's not like God shuffled a deck of cards and dealt out a set to Christian Baptist Church. No, handpicked to be part of this mission, this ministry here in Newmarket. Think about that. And ask God, why? Why me? Why have you put me with this lot? Him here. Why did you put her here? There's purpose in that. And we need to find that purpose. The overarching purpose is that we have the likeness of Christ in us. And this world and this community needs that light. And the only place it's going to get it is you, me, and us. How do we shine that light? How do we, like Jesus in Luke 9:51, it says he set out resolutely for Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. How do we get to be that resolute? By submitting our lives to his will. By seeking him. For which he created us. In verse 5 of this text, John writes, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So God fills us with a knowledge of his love and the ability to show that love to
to the world around us. God's love is made complete in us as we obey his will, as we walk in the way Jesus did, humbly submitting to God's will for us, being the people God created us to be, and fulfilling our gifted purpose for his kingdom. We have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to serve King in kingdom work. It's not just coming to church on Sunday. There are places to serve where you work, where you go to school, in the marketplace, in your home, in the organizations or associations you're with. You can bring that love of Christ into all of those situations. John goes on, verse 7. He says, "Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an order, which you've had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." And we can say that again today. The darkness is there and the true light is already shining. The light of Christ is already shining around the world in the church. "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him." If we love God, we obey God. If we love God, we know he has made us for a purpose. If we love God, we will find that purpose and pursue it, recognizing that the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us for some kind of work in his kingdom. And we show that work, we show that light of Christ in us by the love we have for one another as a community, and the love we share with the people around us, family, extended family, neighbors, schoolmates, workmates. We just bring that love and that light into those communities, and people will come to us to ask, "What is it about you? The way you are, the calmness you have, the peace you have, the gentleness you have in awkward situations." And you can begin the conversation, explain to them who Jesus is in your life. Because Jesus called us to be witnesses. And a witness, as you know, in a court isn't asked other than to answer questions. That's what a witness does. Live such a life that people will ask you questions, and then you can give a witness answer. In Acts 1, it says, Luke writes, Jesus speaking, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, from just outside Jerusalem to Newmarket, Ontario, it might seem for them the ends of the earth. And here we are. We're here for a purpose. Each one of us. So we walk like Jesus. We accept our calling. We walk in confidence and with diligence that as I walk confidently in this calling, the Lord will equip me. I do not really need to know what's going on next week. I only know what he needs to call me to today. And to carry that out faithfully. I sensed my calling to ministry many, many years ago. And it took many years for God to fulfill that. To ask me to leave my career, a successful career, and go and get training for ministry. God's call and equipping. Got an email yesterday, late last night, from Dan and Melody Grover, our partners in mission in Cameroon. Very appropriate that
actually get that email. Just, I was finishing up a review of today's message. I was thinking of my own example of God's calling me, changing my career, my path, if you like, into ministry. But they've been called to, their Bible translators, and they're working in Cameroon. And there's a long email that I'll put in next week's bulletin. And at the end of the email, it says, P.S. 19 years and 14 days after we arrived in Cameroon for the first time, we received the following email. Now, I'll read the email, and she's got a translation of the email. Dear all, the Shrambo NT is ready for printing. GPS Da Vinci, job number 4514. The files have been uploaded to KBS web desk, and I will inform KBS. A lot of codes in there. The work order is attached. And she says, at the very bottom line, the quick translation is that the Bambalang New Testament is off to the printer in South Korea. After 19 years and 14 days of working with these people, they are shortly going to have the New Testament printed in their own language. To the ends of the earth, we shine our light. So we should continue to pray for Dan and Nardi, brother, for the success and give God the glory for 19 years of their dedication to the purpose that they were called to, and they fulfilled it faithfully. They got the letter because they're leaving for Fredericton this week, this Thursday, to head back there to continue the work. Each one was called for a purpose. What's yours? What's yours? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, it can be quite a burden to be living your life, being successful, whatever you determine, we determine success to be, and to be startled by the message that, that's not what I created you for. I created you for a unique purpose. And so, Lord, for each one here, I ask you to enlighten them, to prod them, to poke them a little, maybe put a little bit of discomfort in their lives, and make them turn towards you and say, what would you have me do, Lord? Where would you have me serve? What is the gift you've given me that's unique to me to fulfill in your kingdom for your glory? Lord, I just pray that all of us will once again review our lives, our purpose, our goals, our personal goals, and turn to you and say, Lord, is this the path? And Lord, I pray that we all hear you say, this is the way, walk in it, for this is the purpose I created you for. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. Question period. Had a wonderful, vibrant question time last week. Any questions today on purpose and God's calling for each one of us? Giftedness? You all know what your gift is, right? You all know what your calling is, right? You all know where to serve in the kingdom, right?
What about who is our brother?
Who is my brother? Can I just change the word and say, who is my neighbor? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan?
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah. Who is my brother? Who is my neighbor?
So the same thing.
Yeah. Then the word that you know, the friends you bought a few weeks ago, they're your brothers. They need the light of Christ in their lives right now. Jesus said, "Who is my brother and sister? Those who do the will of God. Who is my mother and brother and sister? He who does the will of God." For a brother of Jesus, we're doing the will of God. That's a good question, Matthew, for clarification. Yeah. Anyone else got a question? Okay. My urge to you is seek God. Ask Him again, no matter how long in years you might be. Ask Him again, like, am I actually fulfilling your purpose? Am I actually doing what you want me to do? And ask the question and wait in silence long enough to hear the answer. Lord's blessing on you. Let's close our time together with hymn number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Please stand.
Very appropriate lyric there in the closing hymns, to lean on the everlasting arms. When we are called to a purpose, we're not called to do it in our own strength. Confirm with the Lord and pursue it with confidence and lean on Him.